welcome to Very Amusing, your one-stop shop for the stories, secrets, and shenanigans of a popcorn-fueled theme park journalist. I'm Carly Wiesel, and if you can't hear it in my voice, I am already anxious about the events that are coming later this week. D23 Expo, fan convention, whatever they want to call it now, D23 in general, fine, sure. But D23, the event that is coming up this weekend, is going to be absolutely packed to the gills with Disney news, and I am really feeling excited. I am recording this on Monday. You're going to hear it on Wednesday. My D23 coverage begins Wednesday night. The event actually starts Friday, but I have a few things lined up beforehand. Regardless, there is so much coming our way this week, and it's so exciting. Usually, I'm a little more like stressed going into D23, but this year I am purely just anticipating everything coming our way, which is why we have this kind of primer episode. It's to remind you and me, I'm not gonna lie, and me, of everything that was announced before, everything we have to look forward to, and kind of what I need Disney to make good on in these announcements. There are three things where I'm like, if they don't do these three things, I'm going to walk away pretty upset. And if they do these three things, I'm going to lose my mind with joy. We're going to get into it this week and next week, which I do want to, at the top, just let you know, I will not be doing daily podcast episodes from D23. The reason being that the entire format of this event has made that impossible now. And I know I am blaming someone else. I also, I need to sleep because now that I'm a mother, I need to sleep. I can't believe I made nightly podcast episodes while I was pregnant at D23 last year. I don't know how I did that. I don't know how I survived that. But anyway, because typically in years past, D23 Expo would be Friday through Sunday and you would go to the events during the day. And at nighttime, there really wasn't anything. People would go to the park, they'd go out to dinner. If you were me, you would order delivery and just eat it like a slob in bed while scripting and writing stories and tweeting and posting things. Now, because there are all these nighttime Honda Center events on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, those big panels, the studio panel, the Parks and Experiences panel, and the Legends panel on Sunday night in that order, because of that, there's really no time to make a podcast over the weekend because I'm going to get home, I'm going to sleep about 5 hours, and then wake up and do it all over again. So just a heads up for next week, this podcast may come out Monday, it may come out Tuesday or Wednesday. We're just going to do one episode, one recap episode instead of daily. So just keep that in mind. I will be covering everything on my social media. But anything else, just keep that in mind. And keep calling the 747 Churros hotline because if there's anything I left out, I want to make sure I get to it. Otherwise, I've had a lovely week, a lovely weekend. I went with my friend Jeffrey. Hi, Jeffrey. I have some friends who listen to the podcast all the time and I love it. Jeffrey was listening to the podcast. My friend Jeffrey was listening to the podcast, walking down the street, listening to the podcast. And he was listening to, I believe it was the New York episode where my husband Ben calls in about bagels. He was like listening to that portion of it, I think. That's what I think he said. Listening to that. And then my husband drove by. Can you imagine? That's like more intense than virtual reality, is that you're there, you're listening to a podcast where a person comes on and then they drive past you. Absolutely bonkers. I have run into people in LA while they were listening to the podcast, which must have been terrifying for them. But otherwise, I just, for Jeffrey to experience that is so funny. But Jeffrey and I went to Company. I'd never seen a real Sondheim show. I've seen West Side Story, and I've seen a staging of Into the Woods, and I've seen the movie, but never like a full production. And we saw Company, and I loved it. The lead was a female instead of male, which I think resonated. It's about a 35-year-old, so like for me, like to watch a 35-year-old woman in that show was like very relatable. It's like relatable and hit. I feel like the message of the show went, it hit home a lot harder than it could have. I've taken Pearl all around town. We went to Bob Baker Marionette Theater, which is always fun, with my friend Rachel. And yeah, it's just been good. I've been kind of relaxing, having a nice time, getting things done, because really the gauntlet starts now. Everything in the next week is going to be bananas. And by this time next week, by the time you're listening to this a few days later, we're going to all have lived a bunch of experiences and found out what we're going to do on our vacations for the next 5-10 years. So I truly can't wait. Let's just get started with the episode. There's so many things going on that I just can't wait about. I'm so excited. I hope you're excited too. And I hope you're prepared for me being at my top tier 10 out of 10 excitement level. Now, as you know, sometimes the excitement level dips into angry criticism, which I'm sure it will at points. This episode has a little bit of that too. But I want us to be happy. I want us to get the experiences we want at these parks as a Disney fan, which I know many of you are. So stay tuned. Oh my gosh. Oh, it's all happening. It's all happening.
Back
Back to school is in the air, and if you, like me, no longer go to school and have no need to remember what a Dixon Ticonderoga is, and yet forever you will, it is trapped in your brain. You deserve something new to refresh your life going into this new season, whether or not you'll be spending it inside a classroom. Because Quince offers the type of timeless, high-quality items that last and last from one season to the next. Y'all already know I'm obsessed with my Quince bike shorts. I am literally wearing them right now. But did you know they have shoes, bedding, cookware, wedding bands? The jewelry, not the one that plays at a party. But honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if they had that too. Literally anything you need that you've probably dragged your feet on buying, they have. Priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands, which is the magic of Quince. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices. So before you buy, well, anything, stop on by Quince to save money on high-quality home and closet essentials. I was browsing their toddler clothes, as one does, and I found that they had this black smocked dress for Pearl that exactly matches one I already own. So I'm about to become a matchy-matchy parent. I didn't think it would be in my future, and yet, here it is. But also, forget that, because while I was shopping for Pearl, I learned they have furniture. Yeah, Quince has furniture. They have a beautiful leather couch. It's beautiful. They have art. They have silverware. Genuinely, I'm not buying anything before checking here first, and you shouldn't either. Go to quince.com/amusing for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Perfect for someone as forgetful as I am. That's quince.com/amusing to get free shipping and 365-day returns on everything and anything you buy from Quince. quince.com/amusing. Enjoy! Oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. I can't wait to tell you about Artifact Uprising. Artifact Uprising! If you've heard of them, you know they're a Colorado-based company that specializes in creating premium quality customizable photo goods for your digital photos. But even if you have or haven't, we need to talk about the greatest thing in the world that they sell. Now, they have so many made-to-order, high-quality photo books, but their baby board book had me screaming from my laptop over how good it is. Their photo books and scrapbook albums and calendars and cards and wedding guest books, they're all made using high-quality printing methods for clear, vibrant photos. But so is their exceptional baby board book. So it's basically a 100% customizable book with photos and captions that help your little one learn new words with photos of what they actually see around them on a daily basis. No cartoon bath or doodle of a crib. No. I did photos of her shoes, her chair, her playground and water bottle. It's so smart, it's so cute, and with baby-friendly round corners and thick pages for any tiny destructive toddler fingers, it's the coolest learning item I have ever ordered her, and she's already obsessed. And you can get one too, because Artifact Uprising makes it easy to share your memories, teach your littles, and tell your story. Through the end of the year, Very Amusing listeners can give Artifact Uprising a try and get 20% off for new customers or 15% off if you have purchased before. That's a good deal. Just visit artifactuprising.com and use code AMUSING through December 31st. That's artifactuprising.com/AMUSING through December 31st. Oh my gosh, Armoire is back! Armoire is back as a sponsor of the podcast. I know a few of you signed up and are enjoying it, so I am thrilled to discuss them once more because what a glorious eco-friendly solution to try new clothes and new styles without wasting your money on stuff you'll never wear again. Y'all know I love goofy clothes. I love weird little clothes. But you know why I can't always wear them? Because my closet is missing key pieces. And for me, that's basics. A black skirt, a little black dress, white jeans, cutoff shorts that are more playground than wearing them on vacation. I own none of it. And with Armoire, I was able to test drive every single thing I needed. They've got the goods from designers like Paige and Lily Pulitzer and Tahari. It helped me realize that, yeah, everything I own goes with a cute little black skirt. The one that I test drove was fantastic, and I desperately need to buy one. Oh, and you can low-key buy them from them, too. That's because Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build the perfect wardrobe. From cutie little trousers, to kid-friendly fits, to full party-ready looks, with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. You take a quick 5-minute style quiz, select items from this fun personalized closet they build for you, and items show up in as little as 2 days. When you're done, just swap them out and get more new-to-you styles. Also, Armoire is women-founded and women-led, so they understand firsthand why this service is so good. There's no more hemming and hawing at the mall, standing in a dressing room wondering, will I really wear this? Is this worth spending hundreds on? Nah, dude! Armoire is here to basically give you the clueless closet. Just endless options forever and ever and ever and ever. And I know I'm saying a lot about them. I'm saying more than I'm probably supposed to, but I just think they're really great. I just think Armoire is really great. Right now, my listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. $125 off! Just visit armoire.style/amusing. armoire.style/amusing to get up to 50% off your first month. And never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today. Welcome to our D23 prep episode. It's basically everything you need to know before encountering a barrage of Disney news, either in person or online, in the coming days. Because even if you're not heading to Anaheim to go to D23, you will not be escaping this news. It will be on every feed. It will be in every top news story. It's going to be everywhere. And personally, for you and my sake also, I find it really helpful to remember what we've been promised from the last few events and what we can look forward to hearing here, in addition to what I think we better hear, or we might be a little moody about it. Now, everything we're going to discuss in this episode is parks, but I do need to start just by chiming in with some Disney Cruise Line stuff, because they had their own mini 3-day event last week announcing so much news. Now, just to catch you up, there are 3 ships that are in this Wish class of ships. There's the Disney Wish, the Disney Treasure, and the Disney Destiny. The Disney Destiny is the one that all this news just came out about, and that debuts in November 2025. The Disney Treasure debuts later this year, and the Disney Wish, if you listen to this podcast, y'all already know all about it. Now, each of these are similar, but they have different elements to them, kind of like triplets. Like, they're all related, but they've got their own idiosyncrasies. And the Disney Destiny is themed to heroes and villains. So with that came a lot of new surprises. Now, I have in a kind of an upsetting amount of notes here that I was going to relay to you, but this is a D23 episode. I don't want to bog things down, especially because I do think we're going to get a little more Disney Destiny news that we will cover on next week's episode. Specifically, I think they're holding back on one of their Broadway-style stage shows, and my gut says Hercules, so I'm just going to wait and see to see if I was right. I made some predictions. A lot of them were wrong, but I feel like that one is right. But the main things you got to know that came out of this 3-day, I don't want to say barrage, but that seems makes it sound negative. Just this 3-day explosion of news was that there is going to be a lot of bar and lounges to look forward to. We've got DeVille's, which is a Cruella de Vil themed piano bar. They have a black and white spotted piano. Interpret that however you may, if that's bleak or maybe just, you know, maybe it's just a fabric they used. I don't want to think about it too much. It's going to be chic. We're going to enjoy it. And we're just going to move past the implications of what that material could be. There's also going to be Cask and Cannon, a pub inspired by the Disney Parks attraction Pirates of the Caribbean. And I say that because it is in the release, which means that it's not going to be movie inspired. It's going to be parks inspired, which I love. That means we're going to get callbacks to the attraction in the park. And it's going to be fantastic. I mean, can you imagine how lively that place is going to be on pirate night on the ship? Like, everyone's going to head there. It's going to be so much fun. We're also going to be getting a Doctor Strange themed lounge. I'm 99.9% sure this is where the Bayou is, the Tiana's kind of themed open lounge that's on the Wish. Here it's called the Sanctum, and I haven't heard people be most excited for this. This may be the thing I am most excited for on this ship, because I stayed at the Art of Marvel Hotel at Disneyland Paris, and they have a kind of Doctor Strange-y inspired bar there, and I really liked it. I think that theming lends itself very well to a beverage menu, very well to snacks that are a little out of the ordinary. I just think it's a really nice touch, and I think in that setting, having that open to people passing by, because that means before on other ships, not to get too into it because this is a D23 episode, but not to get too into it, but on previous ships, some things that people like or some people don't like is that the adult sections were very sectioned off. They were very private. Here, they are more open to the rest of the ship. And I love that this lounge, because this will be enticing for younger guests, they can enjoy it as well. And it's not just you know, separate and off limits to them the entire time. Other things, there's an incredible themed sweet shop. There is, I fully missed this the first time around. The Aqua Mouse, the attraction on board, is going to have villains in the story, including Scar, Chernabog, which I've never said out loud. I hope I said that right. An evil queen. There's going to be a Lion King themed restaurant, Pride Land's Feast of the Lion King, which is where Arendelle is on the Disney Wish, and which I think that'll actually, not selfishly, but a little bit, be perfect for parents of young kids, because it's going to be a really good way to decide if your kids are ready to go see Disney on Broadway. If you want to take them to the Lion King, to Aladdin, to like a show like that, that's going to be really clutch to kind of feel it out while you're on the ship. I think that's the main stuff I want to talk about. Is there anything I missed? No, that's the main stuff. Okay. So that's the main stuff we're going to talk about for Disney Cruise Line in this episode. We will get into that more in the future. Stay tuned for a post D23 episode where we will likely have more to share. But let's get into the nitty gritty of the news of all things D23. Now, I wanted to outline before we did this the things we have seen come to fruition since D23 2022. Some of these came from that. Some of these came from Destination D23, the kind of every other year event that is held that also has some secondary news announcements typically. And also remember, these D23 2022 announcements were back when Bob Chapek was still in charge. Bob Iger came back, is how you want to say it. Bob Iger came back shortly thereafter and was in charge during Destination D23. And a lot of times, sometimes other people, we can be pretty negative about there not being enough news. Okay, me, that's me. But I did want to highlight the fact that we have gotten a lot of things that they have talked about that have been in the works. So things we have seen come to fruition since D23 2022. Mandalorian and Grogu at Disneyland. Incredible Hulk in his quantum suit, which was limited time only, but it was very cool. Pacific Wharf transformed into San Francisco at DCA. Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway has opened at Disneyland. They redid all of Toontown. Also, the new Toontown is so beautiful. I'm so grateful for having a child lined up with that. They've turned Paradise Pier into Pixar Pier Hotel. Din Tai Fung just opened. Run Disney is returning to Disneyland in early September. World Celebration completed at Epcot. No comment. We discussed it in other episodes. New Epcot nighttime show, Journey of Water opened, Figment Meet and Greet opened, Tron opened, that Country Bear Jamboree redo opened, Happily Ever After came back, the Hatbox Ghost was added to Haunted Mansion, World of Frozen opened at Hong Kong Disneyland, the upgraded Disneyland Paris Hotel opened, a Pixar-themed stage show debuted at Disneyland Paris Resort at Walt Disney Studios Park, Fantasy Springs opened in Tokyo Disney Sea, Space Mountain, which is promised for Tokyo Disneyland, closed. They're officially going to start that soon. It opens in 2027. Zootopia Land opened in Shanghai Disneyland. Disney 100 and all that happened. And there were updates to Star Tours. Whoo! I know that's a mouthful. And I know that nobody likes listening to a list of things read out loud. But I just want to set the scene. Because without saying that, you might end this episode being like, well, what did they do? Which is kind of my default. And I want to acknowledge that they have been doing a lot. This is a lot of stuff that has happened. There are also many announcements over the past few years that are not yet open, but are absolutely in the works. Things like Test Tracks Reimagining, Tiana's Bayou Adventure opening in late 2024, which we still don't have an opening date, but I assume we're going to get one at D23. And I haven't talked about it on mic, but it is pretty well known at this point because a lot of people, I haven't been back to Florida since the opening. A lot of people have been talking about it online. The attraction at Disney World is having problems. It's having what seems to be numerous issues, especially with the audio animatronics. I don't know if they're holding this one just to see if they can fix them here. I don't know if here has the same issues. I know zilch, but I assume we will be getting a date just because it's slated to open late 2024 and we're already in August. I have no news about the Duffy and Friends stop motion. I hosted that panel and I still don't know where that is. It was supposed to be on Disney Plus. No clue. I will try to find out if they tell me. I can't tell you though. So maybe I won't ask just so I don't know and I don't harbor any secrets, but I don't know where that is. And then Portos at Downtown Disney. No idea what's happening there. There are a few other bigger things that have been announced that are confirmed to come that I trust will be followed through upon, but we have not seen them fully functioning yet. One is the Frozen-themed land arriving to Walt Disney Studios Park. There hasn't been more information about this specifically, but we've gotten a lot more about this park as a whole, which happened back in April of this year. Since then, Walt Disney Studios Park, the secondary park at Disneyland Paris, has announced a rebrand as Disney Adventure World. A real go-kart kind of name for the 2 billion euro they're investing in this resort. How they settled on that? Have to ask the lawyers. No idea, but it's going to be Disney Adventure World. Now, their world of Frozen is going to have a big body of water called Adventure Bay. And that's going to be kind of the heart of this expansion. They say it's going to be home to an entertainment stage with 360-degree viewing area, which is actually great for us, and will be, quote, fitted with the latest technologies to provide exciting water-based entertainment, complete with fountains, music, lights, and special effects, which sounds like drones. It sounds like drones. Doing drones over water is safer than over people, at a distance is safest, but also over water. I feel like we're gonna get drones at Disneyland Paris. There's also going to be a princess dining venue nearby. All in all, sounds pretty scenic. There is more information about the Tangled family attraction first announced at D23 2022. Again, at that expo, they announced this world of Frozen. They talked about it coming to Walt Disney Studios Park, and they also tossed in there'll be a Tangled ride. We now know that it's going to be a Tangled themed teacup ride. And let me tell you, I know you shouldn't read into an artistic rendering too much. These vehicles are so cute. They're little boats. They're little boats, and you seemingly spin under floating lanterns like in the movie. I want this in America. Do you know what? We have a toilet. We have a Rapunzel toilet. And here, they're going to be spinning in boats under lanterns? I'm jealous. I gotta see this in person. It sounds so good. Now, another thing that they had discussed is a Walt Disney World Pirates of the Caribbean bar. Is it a tavern, a pub, a lounge? There's no clarity on this. But there's been a lot of pomp around it since the official announcement last September. But essentially, this will be a Pirates of the Caribbean themed in Magic Kingdom's Adventureland. That's pretty much it. They say it'll extend the story of Pirates of the Caribbean. I'm pretty sure this came out of Destination D, so it's only been a year. It's not wild that there's no movement yet. I know Blog Mickey was hypothesizing that work has begun as of about 5 or 6 days ago, but I'm going to sit tight until this weekend when I assume we will know much more about this. And then there's the Zootopia show at Tree of Life Theater. I am still waiting on this. I don't know why they haven't put this in at Disney's Animal Kingdom yet. My gut would have said this change is going to be imminent because the changeover can't take that long. But I don't know, maybe they're staggering it to make sense with the other changes coming to Animal Kingdom, which we're going to get into momentarily. Maybe they're trying to align it with the movie. Remember, Zootopia 2 comes out in November 2025. But I would be absolutely floored if we don't have this by end of next year. It seems like this could have already happened and it hasn't. So I'm expecting a lot more news about that at D23 because, frankly, I want it. I don't want to be scared by those bugs anymore. They scare me. I did say goodbye to all my attractions when I was at Disney's Animal Kingdom, but I think this is a good fit and it's a good move forward. And I can't wait to see it. And then we've got the stuff they did. We got the stuff we know they're going to do. And then we got the other stuff. A lot of blue sky, a lot of we promise it's coming with no actual ground being broken yet. And I am getting pretty anxious about some of these. So we're going to take a quick break, a quick breath to just reset. And then we'll be back with what I really, really want to discuss before D23 this weekend. There's a lot they don't warn you about before you become a parent. Like, due to childproofing, you won't be able to open your cabinets with one hand for multiple years of your life. Your friends weren't being difficult. Naptime actually is non-negotiable. And even though their bodies are so small, kids be so tiny, they eat so much. Thankfully, HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit, knows just how complicated it can be to keep your entire household fed. And they are here to save you time, money, and energy by delivering fresh ingredients and picky eater approved recipes to your door each and every week. Your spouse who won't eat vegetables or your kid who just became a steadfast vegan can't be pleased with HelloFresh? Think again! in. With 50 recipes to choose from each week, protein and veggie swap options, and build-a-plate meals that will prevent all dinner table-related disagreements, HelloFresh is your ticket to feeding your entire household easily. Including new 6-portion plans for intentional leftovers. Oh my gosh, I'm so grateful they're thinking of this stuff because I surely don't have the brain capacity to. As you know, I think HelloFresh is spectacular. The pre-portioned ingredients and recipe cards and array of recipes make me feel special. Like I'm a little TV chef whose production team just prepped everything for me. No grocery shopping stress. No, oh my God, it's 5 p.m. What do we do? Panic. Nope, HelloFresh has you covered. And even better, for a limited time, kids, eat free. Go to HelloFresh.com/AmusingKids to unlock an exclusive offer of one free kids meal per box for 2 months while subscription is active. That's free kids meals or delicious little late night snacks. Let's be real, not everybody has kids, but we all like quesadillas. Just by going to HelloFresh.com/AmusingKids. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. If you've traveled overseas, you know one of the most annoying parts of a fantastic trip can be the struggle to stay connected. Hunting down Wi-Fi, changing your phone plan, incurring wild overage charges for what? Using data to map your way around a foreign city? Well, imagine no more of that, because Airalo is here to make that process so much easier. Airalo is the world's first eSIM store that solves the pain of high roaming bills by giving you easy access to eSIM digital SIM cards. Trusted by 10 million users worldwide, it's covered in more than 200 countries and regions, and really offers a perfect digital solution designed to save you time and money no matter where you are traveling. I went to Tokyo last October, and I decided to change my cell phone plan to allow coverage while overseas. It cost extra money, the service wasn't that great, but when I was in one park in particular, my phone's SIM card just stopped working. Just stopped working in a foreign country with no way for me to contact the friend I was staying with. I won't lie to you, it was pretty scary, and Airalo could have solved that problem for me from the start. So, if you're traveling soon and wondering how to stay in touch, look no further. Download the Airalo app and redeem the discount code AMUSING for $3 off your first eSIM. Just install Airalo, A-I-R-A-L-O, so you can stay connected wherever you travel, and use my code AMUSING to get $3 off your first eSIM. Happy travels!
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back. Now, I feel a little bad about starting the episode by reading a list of stuff to you because we're going to get into the emotions of all of these news in this half of the podcast. Because when it comes down to it, there are three whoppers that, simply put, we need to see some movement on. We need to see these three things. We need to see resolution. We need to see a lot more information. We need concrete timelines for these three coming out of D23 this weekend, or we're going to be pretty disappointed. The first is the Avengers Campus e-ticket ride. I am of so little faith about this attraction at this point. It has been half a decade since we first learned about this ride, and we still have nothing concrete. I mean, we've gotten updates, but it is not enough to appease me at all, and I'm pretty sure most of you agree. Let's just take a quick step back to discuss the full timeline of this attraction. Now, back in 2019, pre-pandemic, Disney announced Phase 2 of Avengers Campus. This version, this e-ticket ride that supposedly was coming, was going to take guests on a Quinjet and fly them alongside the Avengers in an epic adventure to Wakanda and beyond. It was poised for guests to team up with the Avengers and face an unnamed powerful villain in an all-new innovative ride system emulating a Quinjet. That was version one, as we'll call it. Version two came, most recently, during Destination D23. In this new version, a vehicle created by Marvel superheroes that makes it possible to jump between worlds and realities. Oh, dear Lord, this backstory is so convoluted. They basically combine, stick with me here, we're almost there. They basically combine elements of Tony Stark's time suits, Xandarian jump points, and Wakandan technology into a vehicle that can, yada, 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 let superheroes transport to remote worlds nearly instantaneously. AKA, ignore the story, you get to go to multiple Marvel locales within a ride. I guess the two concepts aren't really all that different because we're dealing with a lot of vagaries here. You're joining the Avengers, the good guys, to travel to multiple places to beat bad guys. But one detail we were given for this version specifically back in 2022 is that King Thanos would be the villain, a variant designed just for this ride. Now again, this was before the changing of the guard, this was during Chapek times, so who knows. But what I do know is that we need some movement on this ride. And I'm sorry, it doesn't even need to be extraordinary. It can be just fine. We just need to put this to rest. For me, this attraction has always just felt like Marvel's version of Star Tours, which would be great. Remember, that already kind of exists. Iron Man Experience at Hong Kong Disneyland is basically a Stark-centric version of Star Tours. And at the end of the day, It doesn't really matter. And we just need it. Put us in a fancy space airplane or jump us through time portals, have all the Avengers show up, have four of them show up, have, I don't know, just Scarlett Johansson and some other ones with masks on that we don't know. It doesn't matter. We just really need this here. We need it in this park and we need it in this land. Avengers Campus just isn't what it could be without that e-ticket attraction. Web Slingers, A Spider-Man Adventure is a fine ride, but it can't really hold that land up to be something that you should focus your vacation on single-handedly. Neither can the food, now that they've removed the best dessert they've ever had, that full homemade candy bar. Replace it with cake? Not on my watch. The character interaction here is great. Them bringing in characters tied to the movies is probably my favorite thing about Avengers Campus, because it breathes new life into the land regularly. And most importantly, for me at least, it closes the experiential gap between seeing a Disney film and visiting a theme park. It is pretty bonkers that for a while, all anyone talked about was Encanto, and you really couldn't meet Mirabel. And even now, there's no Encanto attraction. I think that time frame, I know that there's reasons for it, but from a guest perspective, it's a little tricky that you're consuming this Disney media and you show up to their physical place and it's just not really there. And I love that Avengers Campus really successfully tackles that problem. I mean, that's why this land was so genius from this iteration that they brought into the parks. I love it just being cyclical between the films, the shows, and the characters and what you see in person on the ground. But again, this land can't live for that much longer just on the charm of character interaction, even as Marvel Studios continues to churn out more and more projects, which means more and more special guests appearing in the land. Because as we know, entertainment is one of those things that it's a sad reality, but it can just kind of easily be pulled out for budget restraints or other reasons. And while we don't concretely know which is the reason in particular, we did see that recently with the Dora Milaje schedule being cut, with Doctor Strange's Mysteries in the Mystic Arts show ending, even though they have a purpose-built space for the performance. That's just the reality of it. But here's where things get really murky. This is poised to be the third D23 Expo where they will be discussing this ride without any idea of when construction will begin, which is beyond me. And yes, I know the pandemic, the CEO changes, the whatever. I don't know. There's no excuse. There's no excuse for this anymore. They have to get moving on this, especially because the entirety of the MCU feels very off-kilter at the moment. The whole cinematic universe was building up to variants of this one big bad, Kang. And now Kang, to say the least, is out. There is no more Kang. They've had to, I assume, rewrite everything that's coming next. And while I don't doubt Marvel can pull it off, I mean, it's Marvel after all. They've handled a plethora of head-twisting storylines for years and years at this point. But since those two announcements, a lot has changed. The entire framework of the forthcoming films, the multiverse now stars Robert Downey Jr. as Dr. Doom, as we learned from Comic-Con. And while we will surely get a lot more Marvel news at the D23 Studios presentation on Friday night, I just have to emphasize once again that we need movement on this ride. Not just details, not just a rendering of the vehicle, not just a little piece of artwork. We need to know when this is coming. We need to know when construction's beginning, and we need to see something solid soon because they are burning out of goodwill on this ride. Number two, we gotta see some solid announcements on whatever is coming to Magic Kingdom. That blue sky teaser at 2022's Expo was inspiring. I mean, if they build that, I will come. But it was so soft and kind of empty and I don't know, it was weak. And there has been almost no news or public movement on this in the past 2 years. We need something because we need to know something big is coming because Disney World needs something big to come. The main two announcements out of 2022's Expo were the Blue Sky Ideas in Magic Kingdom and Animal Kingdom. And I'm emphasizing Magic Kingdom specifically because I am not worried about Animal Kingdom. They are following through with that. It is all but guaranteed we'll be getting a lot of news this year about that because that train has already left the station. As you know, Dinoland USA will become a new land inspired by the tropical Americas region. New experiences inspired by Encanto and the beloved adventure Indiana Jones are, as they said, quote, being considered for the reimagined land at Disney's Animal Kingdom. The placement will be regions just north and south of the equator in the Western Hemisphere, the northern part of South America stretching up into Central America, and I am expecting... No, I'm guaranteeing we will know more in just a few days because we have continued to get updates on this. That's why I've got no problem with this expansion. It has been announced, it has been foretold. There was even a diagram of it that was released in a video by Disney Parks a while back. It might have been Walt Disney Imagineering. I tried to click through and I couldn't get the actual timestamp of when it came out. But anyway, they've already shared footage of the research trip to the Yucatan Peninsula. And like, again, the kind of overhead land diagram. We're good here. Look forward to new and exciting details because you know I am, because I am very into this update. And hopefully you got that last trip on dinosaurs I mentioned in my April episode because I did that before I went to Disney and I did all my goodbyes and I hope you did too. But Magic Kingdom, one of the other, could it be, announcements that came in tandem with this very concrete one that I'm very excited about, Magic Kingdom's was just kind of a, imagine if land inspired by Disney villains. It was like if just past Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, there was maybe a Coco experience. And Encanto, which I'm pretty sure they name checked, even though I think that Encanto is what we're getting in Animal Kingdom. I'm not sure. I'm just going to wait a few days until we know for sure. But they teased this little Coco-inspired ride, which sounded great. And that was it until earlier this year. Just this past April, Disney, they didn't say much else, but they did call it the biggest expansion ever at Disney World. And I do believe that there was some sort of permit that they shared with press, which is nothing to shake a stick at. That is them saying, we are building this. But I'm hoping and asking for a little bit more. As a Disney fan, we need something big out of this convention when it comes to parks. Not some promises that may or may come to fruition. No, we need to see what's coming and know what's coming in the next 5 to 10 years. Now, if they announced a whole new park, consider me good. I can pretend this whole Beyond Big Thunder, villains, Beyond the Berm stuff was just a hazy dream. Like that theater venue they once announced for Magic Kingdom Main Street. Poof, gone out of my mind. Something has to happen within the next few years. They can't announce this and have it built 7 years down the line. We need a massive, shocking, it's on the way announcement. We need something that will have people hooting and hollering in Honda Center. And if we only get a little more about the Animal Kingdom changes that we already pretty much know about, and if we only get one or two, maybe three artistic renderings of this expansion and no detail about timeline, we as a fandom are a little bit in trouble. Because let's not forget why this expo is so important in 2024. I know Disney doesn't like you to compare, but Epic Universe is almost here. It opens next year, and if you look at a single aerial photo of it, you know it's gonna be ready. Disney, on the other hand, at this point in time, has no new park slated for 2025 or 2026. They have no land that will probably be open by 25, because I assume they can't turn over Dinoland within a year. They're not even going to have a brand new ground-up ride slated for the time that Epic Universe will be opening. When Universal's opening, what, a dozen? Two dozen of them? And even if you're not a How to Train Your Dragon person, a Universal Monsters person, a Harry Potter person, somebody in your family, somebody in your friend group, or somebody in your household probably is. So if Disney doesn't have another huge domestic parks banger up their sleeve, I say domestic because I expect the presentation will have a lot of international news, it's possible they're gonna lose their footing and kind of lose a bit of that relationship they have with their regular guests. Because a new ride here and a new ride there can compete, but a new ride here and a new theme park there is just not the same in this day and age. That's a multi-day trip for Epic Universe, a trip in and of itself, full of new experiences, all new, especially for older kids and adults. And I personally cannot wait to see what comes out of that Saturday night presentation, because it's really going to set up the way we vacation for the next 5 years. I don't think the Animal Kingdom change is enough to sway things when Epic is going to be gobbling up all of the attention next year and likely into the year that follows. But if this Magic Kingdom change is their big news, and it's good, and if they can get started relatively quickly, it really could negate some of that hold on newness that Epic will have. And number three, for my hometown heroes, we need some concrete Disneyland expansion updates. Disneyland Forward has been thrown around for what feels like ages now. We've seen these hypotheticals, these diagrams, these maps, and we need to know something that is coming. I don't anticipate much news about breaking ground. Honestly, this all seems like long lead stuff, like this is years off. But we're dealing in hypotheticals across these domestic resorts. Oh, we might do a Villains Land. Oh, we might build Avatar at Disneyland. And as fans, I'm just going to speak on behalf of us. We need something we can sink our teeth into. I've been out here talking to Disneyland fans, and they're pretty dejected. They know stuff is coming to Disney World. They know that Orlando's getting Epic Universe, and they want something big and flashy and new. And while we as a fandom are spoiled, yeah, I'll admit that we're spoiled, we've gotten a lot of new stuff. We've gotten Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, Toontown, Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, we're getting Tiana's. Like, there's a lot that we've gotten at Disneyland Resort in the recent years. But that's the game of Disney fandom. And if we're trotting to Anaheim this weekend to put our butts in seats to be wowed, I speak on behalf of our locals when I say, we want to be wowed. Disney has been touting their parks investments, doubling capital expenditures over the next 10 years. They are spending roughly $60 billion in expanding and enhancing domestic and international parks and cruise line. And I applaud that. I see that happening. I see the expansion that they're doing. Disney Cruise Line is replicating out of control, which is incredible. I cannot wait for them to have a global worldwide fleet. They have a phenomenal product, and the ease and joy of a Disney Cruise Line vacation is unmatched for a Disney fan. I am thrilled. I love seeing them promise all of this across the board. We see a lot happening in parks globally, but also domestically. They're not out here doing nothing, but still. As much as they're doing, we are a sassy, critical, knowledgeable fan base. We come to these places, we heap gobs of money upon this company, and we want to be wowed in exchange. Yes, there are state-of-the-art attractions. Yes, many of them are fairly new, but we want more. We demand more. Because The Walt Disney Company really didn't construct or build or push forward during the pandemic when it came to construction. They faced a lot, to say the least. But now we are back. Leadership seems focused, money is being spent, they are dreaming up new experiences. And we want to see what comes next after this promised growth, this titan of a company touting newness, promising change to Disneyland with their Disneyland Forward campaign. Now that it's successful, we want to see what's in store. I've heard the word turbocharged more in the past 6 months than I have in my entire life. They're going to build, they're going to innovate, they're going to expand. Heck yes. But we gotta know what's coming. Because yes, Tiana's is almost here. And yes, Disneyland really is always hitting those small projects. Always. But looking forward to what? A Portos? The empty promise of an Avengers e-ticket and not much else on the books isn't enough to keep these West Coast fans satiated, which I say from my California house. We see Tron opening. We see all these big expansions promised for Disney's Animal Kingdom and Magic Kingdom and a Pirates Bar and all these things. And they want something big. Californians, Disneyland visitors want something juicy. And I'm hoping out of all of this Disneyland Forward promise, we're given something absolutely massive, something concrete that West Coasters can begin looking forward to. Now, only time will tell. We will know how everything shakes out in just a few days. So stay tuned because I am really, really hoping we get something big, either for Avengers Campus, either for Magic Kingdom, or either for Disneyland Resort as a whole. I am so excited. Stay tuned. We will have so much for you in just a matter of days. And I'm wishing all of you a very happy and healthy D23. Make sure to sleep, make sure to drink water, make sure to have protein, and you'll be good. See you on the other side. Yee!
Carly, this is Courtney from Seattle. I need your expert advice. My husband's job is bringing us to Disney World for the last week of August. I'm stoked and afraid of the heat. Every morning and evening, there will be themed events and breakfast dinner is covered, but my days are free and I'll be by myself while he attends the work event. I'm a little overwhelmed trying to decide what to do since it's all my decision. I plan to spend some of the time at every park just having a nice little time. But as a seasoned solo traveler, what are your favorite solo activities at each of the parks? Maybe secret spots to hang out and vibe and maybe cool off as I'm a delicate little Pacific Northwest flower. Maybe food activities where it's fun or faster to go solo. Things that you'd never drag your spouse to, but you adore. The organized events also mean I can't get to the parks first thing in the morning. So maybe that affects my choices. I appreciate your help. You are my guide, my guru, my Disney post-sec, if you will. So I'm looking forward to your tips. Also, sidebar, thank you for the episode about the new Genie Plus situation. I sent it to my husband for him to share with his coworkers, and their families were all very grateful. Thank you so much. Tell Miss Audrey I said hi.
A solo trip! I am so excited for you, and I'm also so grateful that you came to me for this because I have many, many thoughts. Now, I've mentioned this here and there on the podcast, but when I go somewhere by myself, I like to keep a little checklist in my phone, just by park and of things that I want to do. And they're not necessarily attractions. It's not like, I want to go on Tron. It'll be little things I've heard about here and there on message boards that I've never actually gotten to see, or just restaurants I've never been to, just a little list of maybe 2 to 3 things in each park that I'm like, ooh, if I have time and I can stop by that, I would love to do that. Because the massive perk of going to a Disney park by yourself is that you can do anything you want whenever you want. If you're overheating, which I'm so glad you're preparing for already, get water, get Powerade, bring like liquid IV, water hydrator things. The heat creeps up on you and you don't want to just collapse in bed like I did a couple trips ago. But anyway, because you are by yourself, if you get warm, you can just run into a store and grift their AC and play around on your phone for a few minutes to escape the heat. You don't have to tell anyone that you're doing that. You have to tell anyone you're going to pee or wash your hands or get water, get coffee, or get food. You can just do it. You can just walk over and be like, I'm hungry, and walk over without telling your family, without telling any friends you're traveling with, a spouse, anyone. And that is very nice. That is something I now appreciate more now that I'm a parent. But to give you some guidance while you're there, I want to recommend that you don't just focus on the big ticket attractions. I know you mentioned Genie Plus. I'm very appreciative that you liked the new episode of all of the Lightning Lane changes. But keep in mind, you might be back at Disney World, but this may be your only time to wander and do anything. Is there anything small and silly in the grand scheme of things that you want to check out? Like, maybe you've never been to the stores inside Liberty Square. Maybe you've never actually spent time inside that sea base in the seas at Epcot. Maybe this is the trip you actually take time to get jewelry made at that stand at Mexico Pavilion. This is your chance to do it. And that is the blessing of going solo. If you can't really think of anything and you're like, oh, there are some spaces I haven't seen, but I don't know what they are, I recommend going to the Disney World website and just looking at everything. They have individual pages for all sorts of wackadoo stuff. And if you look through like every dining option, you'll see all these bars you may never have experienced. If you look through every attraction, you may see things like, oh, I've never seen that little museum exhibit inside the Japan Pavilion. And I'm going to speak from personal experience here. If you don't do it on your solo trip, you're probably never going to do it, because I find that convincing someone else to like walk through a pavilion to look at an educational setup is just never going to happen. But of course, we are at Disney World. I do want you to go on rides. So as a reminder, Expedition Everest, Millennium Falcon, and Aerosmith Rock and Roller Coaster. I don't know why I've never said Aerosmith Rock and Roller Coaster. And a Rock and Roller Coaster are currently operating single rider lines. There was a hot minute. There was truly like 45 seconds a couple weeks ago where Rise of the Resistance had a single rider line. It went away, but because you will be there solo, if you happen to be in Hollywood Studios, maybe just wander over and ask, check Twitter, check the internet, because if that opens while you're there, that would be pretty nice. And essentially, single rider lines, it is a little awkward to sit next to someone you don't know, especially if it's a group of like three or five, and you're like, I mean, you're family in your picture now. But you know what? It's great for capacity because more people get through. So you're like kind of helping the park function, if you think about it in a way. But also it's an easy way to get on in-demand rides without having to schedule out too much and worry too much about lightning lanes. As for, like you asked, little solo things I like to do, obviously paired with ways to keep cool while doing them, a lot of things I like to do aren't weather conducive. So please, please don't mill about Animal Kingdom all day taking it in. You will get heat stroke. And I don't want that for you. But some assorted thoughts I have are that it would be really helpful specifically for your trip to book a midday indoor meal at Epcot. Because you are not in the park in the morning, not there at night, like you're really there during the day when the sun is blazing. If you're at Epcot, you're probably just going to keep walking and walking and maybe get a bite, maybe get a little drink here and drink there, maybe a soda, maybe water, whatever. But you're never going to get a hard indoor break on that daytime trip unless you schedule it. So consider booking a dining reservation solo. And I say that knowing that sometimes the vibe can be like a little, I'm kind of close to other people's families. Like you just feel a little awkward at an individual table while everyone else has groups. But I do think that these days, my go-to restaurant, Shikisai in the Japan Pavilion, would be the perfect environment. I think you can sit at a sushi bar. I haven't sat there myself, but if you sit anywhere in the main space, you get a view out the window. It's beautiful. You can watch people going by from the air-conditioned loft of the second floor. It's just really ideal and makes for a really nice experience. And they have small plates. You can try a lot of different stuff, which is always nice. At Magic Kingdom, I'm going to recommend keeping cool by just doing whatever low-weight ride there is. I'm sorry, I never want to go on the Little Mermaid ride when I'm there, but when it's hot out, you can bet I'm going on. Because even the queue, while part of it is outdoor, the indoor part is very cavernous. And like once you get in there, like, ooh, it's chilly. And I think it's really nice on a hot day. So if I was you, I'd treat whatever lowest wait time ride that happened to be indoors as my North Star, at least when it's the hottest part of the day, like midday, early afternoon. That's when I would prioritize that. However, if I'm being honest, that is not my real answer. That is not my real answer. I shouldn't admit this, but when I'm in the parks alone, I really like playing on my phone, okay? I really like it. I really like just being on my phone. But not just being on my phone in Magic Kingdom. Being on my phone, I sounded so Chicago right there. I don't know if you caught it. But being on my phone while I'm on a mode of transportation. Playing on my phone on a train, playing on my phone on a monorail to get to the park, playing on my phone on a people mover, but you also don't do that when you're inside the closed areas because then it'll light it up for everyone and that's no fun, which only on the outside. Basically, for me, it's like me time, but in a magical setting. And oh, going off that note, Whenever I am alone and like going to Magic Kingdom specifically, I never choose efficient transportation. I choose what appeals to me most, which is often taking boats between places, getting a little breeze in your hair. Even if like maybe the monorail's a little faster, walking is fastest, it's fine. Just like taking a boat, from Magic Kingdom to Grand Floridian, if you just want to like get a snack or a treat or sniff the lobby, it just adds another element. I love transportation. I love when I'm not on a schedule. I love just taking different types of vehicles and also playing on my phone while I do them, which I know is bad. That's bad advice, but it's just really nice. I'm going to admit it. It's really nice. Now for Disney's Hollywood Studios, I have nothing for you. I truly don't have anything weatherproof for you that I can swear by, because I feel like when you enter that park, and granted other parks, Animal Kingdom, the hottest one, Epcot, you are out in the elements. You're just walking in a circle. You're like on a track at a high school in the blazing sun. But something about Hollywood Studios, I feel like you're being pummeled by the sun from the minute you enter. Because it's like Hollywood Boulevard, cool. Straight to Toy Story Land, great. To Galaxy's Edge. And by the time you get all the way back there, you're like, I must drink space water. And most of the shows here aren't indoors. They're like covered, but they're still outside. Can you tell I don't go here very often anymore? I'm going to hang out on Pizza Rizzo. I really got nothing for you for Hollywood Studios. Anything I do there is usually outdoors. I wish you the best. That's a tricky one. Moving on to Animal Kingdom. Now, I have one key recommendation for you here, and that is to sprint to Finding Nemo the musical. What is the full name? Finding Nemo, the Big Blue Beyond, the Big Blue and Beyond, whatever the official name is, I will never remember. But basically, you're going to chill here. It's pretty easy to get a seat. You're going to be doused in cold air conditioning while also enjoying some of the best music a Disney Parks production has ever had. We do not talk about this enough. We talked about it with Andrew Barth Feldman. The dude is obsessed with the music here, and for good reason, because it's excellent. And like, yeah, you can go to Lion King. Yeah, that's great too. But the music here is phenomenal. And also, when you're like hot and alone, you don't always want to be on bleachers, like in seating, staring at other people. I like this is a traditional setup. You just sit back, you chill, and you get to watch the show. And it is so, so lovely. I wish I had more cutie little spots for when it's hot out in the parks proper, but I want you to stay cool, but I think that's the best advice I have, the best suggestions I have. Have so much fun, enjoy, and remember, you can do whatever you want. You can do whatever you want. If you're like, I really want to go on Flight of Passage, I want to wait in line for 2 hours, you can do it. If you don't want to do anything and just want to like get a snack at 5 different restaurants, you can do it. You can do anything. And I hope that you enjoy your trip to your heart's content. And while I say that, I sound like it's a drag to go with my loved ones, but I promise it's not. It's just a really unique experience to go to Disney World solo. And if you ever get the chance, I think it's really special and it's really nice. I get a chance here and there. I love going with my family. I love going with my child. And I also love going alone. They're all different trips and they're all wonderful. Thank you so much for calling. I hope you have a great time. That's our show. Thank you all so much for listening, and stay tuned for so much more coming out of D23. You can rate, review, and follow us on Apple Podcasts, and rate and follow us on Spotify. You can also give us a call at 747-CHURROS, send a voice note, or email it to 747churros@gmail.com. Keep them coming. Every time I say that I need to do a churros episode, I do. There's just been so much going on and so many episodes I had to get out. So that is on my to-do list. I assure you, keep them coming. You can pick up Very Amusing merchandise at very-amusing.com. And you can follow me at Carly Wiesel on all of the places on the internet. Join the FOMALY at facebook.com/groups/CarlyWiesel. And hey, if you got 99 cents a month that you want to, put into like a vending machine and out pops content, subscribe to my Instagram. I'm posting on stories regularly throughout the week just for subscribers. It is exclusive stuff. I'm going to be posting exclusive stuff to subscribers while I am at D23. So definitely check that out. And even if you join now and you're like, no, D23 was a little bit ago, I missed everything, there is a automatic highlight that saves the last like 50 or 75 or something updates that I've posted. So you can join at any time, hit that highlight, and catch up on what has recently been posted. So even if you're listening a few days after D23, it should all still be there. And again, it's 99 cents a month. 99 cents a month. And if you're like, she's not worth 99 cents, then you can unsubscribe. But like, try it. You might like it. This episode was edited diligently by Jeff Fox. Thanks so much for listening. See you real soon.
Parents Mom. Gilroy Gardens. I have never even heard of Gilroy, California. I've never heard of Gilroy Gardens. But mushroom, banana, and garlic rides, cool trees, sounds like such a fun time, honey. Excited about meeting Gil with no eyes. You crack me up. I just adore those childlike qualities you have. You're the best. I love you so much. I learn so much from you every week. I really do. Fun facts I never would have looked up or known. Another fun episode. And I can't believe that D23 is here already. Should be a great time. I love you. I love you, Pearl. And, of course, I love you, John Stamos. Bye, honey.